All right, so tonight I thought we'll start the topic of women's head coverings. It's not that exciting. It's going to be because of the hype. Yeah, mostly. I mean, the halachas really come from very small diyukim in the Gemara. We'll work with some of them tonight. Maybe we'll work on the clarity, you know, of these halachas next time. Tonight we'll just throw out some basic ideas, and just read the Gemara a little bit. Just try to figure out what the inyanim are from Pashup Shat and the Gemara. Okay, so it's the bottom of Ayin Bezim et Aleph. Ezu Hidas Yehudis. So what is an example of Das Yehudis? So what is Das Yehudis? So Rashi on the Mishnah said, Das Yehudis means, Shenoagu Benos Yisrael, V'yafal Gav Delo Ksiva. Very strange lashon. Usually I would have assumed that Das Moshe is Daraisa and Das Yehudis is Derabbanan. That doesn't sound like that from Rashi. So let's just keep that in the back of our minds. So we said, Yotze V'rosha Peruah. So the Gemara asks right away, Rosh HaPerua Daraisahi. Wait a minute. You put this under the category of Das Yehudis, but it's really Daraisa. Tichsiv, and he quotes the Pasuk in Parshas Naso by the Sota, and if you have the fancier Gemaras, you can look in the margin. It says, V'hemet HaKohen Es HaIsha Lefnei Hashem, Ufara Es Rosh HaIsha V'Nasan Al Kapel, etc., etc. Right? So he says, Ufara Es Rosh HaIsha. So you're supposed to... I guess we'll translate it for our own sake as uncover the head of the woman, right? V'tanad v'rabbi Shmuel azhar l'bnos Yisrael shelo yetzu b'prua rosh d'oraisa. I'm sorry, stop there. B'prua rosh. Right, so this is a warning to the b'nos Yisrael that they should not go out with their heads uncovered. So if you take a look in Rashi on the bottom over there, the last two Rashis on the page, d'oraisa hi v'amai lo kari lo das Moshe. Rashi says you put it in the wrong category. Should be in the category of Das Moshe, not Das Yehudis. And then the next Rashi, Ashara mida avdinon lo hachi l'navla. We do this in order to disgrace her. Mida keneged mida. Kemosha asta lihisnaos al boala. Right? So he says, we're doing this as sort of a payback. Apparently she uncovered her hair or her head in order to make herself look nice to the man that she had the affair with, whom she had the affair. So it says mechlal da aser. So we can infer from here that it's something which is aser to do, meaning she went ahead and did this in order to make herself look like a prutza. So now we're going to make her look like a prutza as well, in a derech of nivul, in a derech that makes her look in a negative light. And this is how we infer that it's aser. Inami second shot midichsiv. Ufara mechlal da hushaita lav pruahi havas. Right? Shema mina ein derech menos Yisrael. Let's say pruos rosh v'chein ikar. So the second pshat is the ikar. What does it mean? It means that pashim shat up until this point her hair was covered. Now we're going to uncover it. So nothing fancy. Just from the fact that the Torah has to tell you to go out of your way, you know, it's like you show up to a shul and there's a sign that says please turn off your cell phones. Right, so what's the pshat? Turn off your cell phone. Mean it. Pasha pshat. Ad hashta, everybody's cell phone was on, and now you're supposed to turn it off. Right? It's not like, well, the minig of some people is to walk around all day with their cell phones off, so they wouldn't need a sign, please turn off your cell phones. Like, it would be a sign, don't turn on your cell phones. Right? So the fact that it says a sign, please turn them off, is mashma that the derech olam is to have them on at all times. Right? So too here it says it should uncover her hair, and therefore... Pashup Shad is the minig was to keep it covered. Okay, those are two deis in Rashi. There's a very interesting tshuva in Rav Moshe that has a diuk in this Rashi. I'm not sure what to do with it. Halacha l'maisa, he says what he says, but this is an Evan Ezer Chelik Aleph Simen Nun Zayin. Rav Moshe's got to have at least 15, 20 tshuvas on this topic. Various, it repeats, a lot of the tshuvas repeat, but this is a strange tshuva. This is a case, I really have no idea what the Metzias is either. In the Shaila, that there was a woman who really she was an almana, and she really needed the money, She had a job where apparently in her office she could not wear any type of head covering. I guess for whatever reason, wearing a sheitel was not an option. And I don't know what the metzias is, but apparently she could not wear a hat or any type of head covering. So could Rav Moshe be makel to allow her to work in the office without a head covering? So he's makel halacha lemaisa, because he wants to argue that whatever, we might get to it later, we might not, but that almana is only chiyav midrabanan, whereas even an eishes ish could be a chiyav daraisa, and almana is only a chiyav midrabanan, and therefore if it's a makam hefsid meruba, you could be makel. And then he wants to say that really this shaila should be totally in the two lashonas of Rashi. So how so? So the first lashon was what? That we're doing this to disgrace her, mida keneged mida. So he writes mechlal, Rashi writes mechlal da aser, sover shu iser. So he says Rashi is mashma that's an iser. Vayin beritva, shekasa of the pirizeh, the Rashi, Ritva explains Rashi, mechlal da priyas arosh pritzus hu leisha. Shalachin vadai hu iser. So the Ritva is medayik from the first lashon in Rashi, that we see that why would she have uncovered her hair? Because she wants to look like a pritzah. So you see that to uncover the hair is pritzus. So that's all right. Pritzus is something which is usher, and therefore Moshe is medayik from the first lashon in Rashi that we're talking about a dvar iser, right? So what about the second lashon of Rashi where he writes that ad hashta it was covered and now we're going to uncover it? So he says, why? Because Rashi writes, "In derech benos Yisrael, lotzis prus rosh." So he wants to say from there, it sounds like it's only an iser aseh, meaning that what's the main issue to have a hair covering or head covering, right? But there's no iser to be porea the rosh. Rather, there's an inyan, a mitzvah, let's say, to keep it covered, and now we're going to uncover it. Wow. I'm not sure what that diyuk is. Why is that more medayik? Do you hear it? He's medayik from the fact that he says, from the fact that we're going to uncover it now. Yes, it sounds like a davar pashut that the minhag was to walk around with it covered. Mashma, it's like a positive thing. I mean, you hear it. I'm not sure it's muhrach, but lemaisa, he's medayik that the minhag was to do it. So it's a positive thing to cover one's hair. So who cares? So this part you could figure out. So what's the nafkamina? That's it. Yeah. We spoke about this way back when. And then the...
Can you not do like a kiyum aseh if it's like hefsid mamon?
Kind of, right? We gave fairly distinct hagdaras when we did the sugi of hamavazves. Right? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, you do. You don't remember. But anyway, what's the halacha? So for, let's say someone says, your money or your life, give me all your money or I'll kill you. So Mustama, you're smart enough to give him all your money. Right? Let's say someone says, give me all your money or I'll, you know, make you, if you don't give me, excuse me, give me all your money or eat this pig. Right? So he says, eat this cheeseburger or I'll take all your money. If you eat the cheeseburger, I'll let you go. So, what do you do? You got a 1 out of 2 chance. Take a guess. What? You have to give up the money. You have to spend all of your money in order to not violate a lo saseh shebe Torah. But if it's a mitzvah aseh, if he says, don't take a lulav on Sukkis, or give me all your money, so then you can just not do the mitzvah. Right? You're allowed to violate a mitzvah aseh. We generally assume up until a chomesh. We learned that from the Takana Susha, Vamavazviz, Ayavazviz, Yosem Yechomesh, right? And we pointed out that because if you learn like the Netziv in his Shiurim, in the Merom Esadeh, he says because it's totally in the din of Kavod Abrius, which is Mavatal, the Aseh that we're standing here and you could be violated even a lot, B'Shev Al Tasa, right? So therefore, we learn from Kavod Abrius that up to 1/5, you don't have to do the essay if you haven't spent more than 1/5 of your money. You remember that at all? Anyway, whatever. There, it exists. Anyway, so Lamaisa, Rav Moshe wants to be mechalik, and he'll say that if we're going to say the second pshat in Rashi, which he writes, b'chein ikir, so it's not really a lav to uncover your hair, it's really a mitzvah to keep it covered. Right? So therefore, if this woman has a job that's going to basically pay all her bills, and if she doesn't have this job, she's going to have to have, she's literally going to have nothing. So then if it's only a chiyuv aseh, then one might allow her to continue to keep the job and not to wear the head covering. Mashenkin, if you say it's a los aseh, so then it's nothing you can do about it. You have to quit the job in order to wear the head covering. Yeah.
Just, I guess with that, with the almana, right? This whole, like, soul pras, Rosh Ha'isha, that comes from Sota, right?
What?
The pasuk, right, comes from Sota. So that, I guess, right, that's with like Kino Yavisir, but he, like, both Almana though, like, she doesn't have like a husband to like cheat on.
No. The makor is, it's part of the process that the woman who's nechshad undergoes, but that doesn't mean that for everyone else it would be mutter. Meaning it's a davar pashut that for everyone else it's also aser to not have a head covering. We speak about it in this context, but that doesn't mean it doesn't apply across the board to everybody. In other words, we uncover her hair. Mashma that ad hashta that her hair was covered. Why was her hair covered? Because she's a married woman.
Saying, but how do you know once she becomes, you know, a widow that she would necessarily?
Right. So we didn't get to it yet. We might talk about it on Thursday about where the diak comes from, the Bach and the Grav, a certain diak from the Gemara that so it's a question. But Lamaisa, and it seems beferish in Yushami also. But Lamaisa, the Rav Moshe wants to say that by an Alman, it's only midrabanan. And therefore, he's willing to be makel based on this svara. He says, even though at the end of the last, it's a short little tshuva, but in the last little paragraph of the tshuva, he writes, "Ach mikol makom beishes issued midaraisa yesh lasar misafik pirish lishna kama derashi." Says, I would take Rashi's first pshat into account. Maybe that's the ikar, even though Rashi says the second pshat is the ikar. But maybe the pshat's like the first pshat in Rashi, and therefore I would not allow it if the woman was married. So if it's a married woman, and she would have to lose her job, I'd tell her that it's possible a losa say, you know, del raisa, and you can't keep the job if you're not going to wear a head covering. So he says, therefore, I'm going to be makel by derabbanan and machmir by del raisa. So that's how he comes out. In this particular shaila, he was makel because the woman was an alman. Okay, whatever. That's Rav Moshe's diuk in that Rashi. Yeah, Ravi.
Can't
Rav Moshe
just be
medayik
in the fact that he says mechlal de'iser? In the first
lashon,
not in the second
lashon. Yeah, in a chinami, it's pretty much the diuk. I mean,
yeah. So isn't that pretty strong diuk? Because this is nisur, and then he says over here that it's not nisur.
Let's say it's. But the Gemara, I mean, he's the Divramaso. The Gemara is doraisa. It's doraisa, right? Azhara. What's lashon azhara? You know, it doesn't sound like a positive mitzvah. You know what I'm saying? Like. So Rashi's already working within this framework of we're talking about a negative thing, right? So like, you know, to come out that it's really an Isser Aseh, it's a bit of a Chiddush, that's all. I'm not saying, it's not a 100% Mukhruch Diuk that you can't learn any other way. But Lamaisa, he was confident enough, or Moshe was confident enough in this Diuk to pask him that way, Alach Lamaisa. Okay. Yeah, Yoni?
Yeah.
All right. So that's just one small point. Let's just try to read the Gemara a little more. So the Gemara says medayik that it's a dindo raisa, right? And then the Gemara says do raisa, right? So it's an issa do raisa kolsa shaper dummy, right? So he says on a level of do raisa, if she was wearing a kolsa, so then that would be okay, right? Das yehudis afilu kolsa nami oser. But on a Das Yehudis level, even if she's wearing this kolsa, so that would also be a problem. Okay, Rashi over here says, what's a kolsa? Sal sheyesh lo milmata beis kibul laholmo berosho? Well, beis kibul milmata, I said milmala, I meant milmata. Milmala los is bo pelech upishta. So he says it was probably, you could flip it over on either end. It had some type of a base kibble on each side, and you could wear it like a helmet, and then it also had a base kibble on the top to put things into, right? So apparently this covered something, and that was enough to take care of the problem of Deraisa. It wasn't enough to take care of the problem of Das Yehudis. Okay, we'll have to figure out what that is. I'll just tell you one other cute diuk that some of the poskim have in this Gemara. It says, what were these baskets made out of? And it's not there's some type of wicker baskets that they were woven from straw. Right, so there's a Trumas Hadeshin that was asked the question, what's the story with men's head coverings that are woven? Right, he's asked the Shaila, is all your Yerushimayim going to slip out through the holes? That was pretty much, I don't know if you've ever heard that vort, but you shouldn't wear a knitted yarmulke because all your Yerushimayim is going to slip out. So most of you are good to go. All right, so Lamaisa, Trumas Hadeshin. The Trumas Hadeshin didn't hear that vort ever. The Trumas Hadeshin is in Siman Yud. It's misquoted in a bunch of raids for him in Siman Zayin, but it's really Siman Yud. The Ika, and he writes over there that there's a raya that when it comes to a Kisei Arosh, it doesn't need to be made out of cloth. He writes, it doesn't have to be a cloth beggar that's a tight weave or some type of material that doesn't have any holes in it. Because even if you want to be masker shem shamayim, if you're a man, you want to be masker shem shamayim. So we see clearly from the Gemara that a kolsa, this type of basket which was woven, to the extent that that the Rambam writes that it was almost like parutz meruba la omed. There was more airspace in there than there was coverage. So that was the style of weaving, apparently. So he's medayik from there. That's 100% considered a covering, and then therefore there's no issue for a man to wear a woven head covering, even if it has major size holes in it, that airspace in between the weave. So he says that's not a problem of not to be considered a covering. He writes and he has a little back and forth in there in the tshuva. It's a short tshuva, but he has a little back and forth where he says maybe there's a difference between erva versus kisei arosh for men for Yerushalayim. He's not into it. He thinks it's the same thing. He says he thinks whatever differences that would exist, he can explain them away elsewhere. See, in the end, he's mekel lachatzim. So for all says a tshuva where he's mekel, and he says you could be you don't have to worry about that in terms of men's head coverings. Okay. I was thinking maybe the pshat is over there that's why it was only good in the Torah, because it had these holes in it that you could see through. But it doesn't seem like, the Rishonim don't seem to learn that was the problem. So it's interesting. I don't know how big the holes were, but maybe you could also, there's room to be makel by women's head coverings that cover enough hair, but have small, small air spaces in them. Also, you don't have to be makbid to cover those up. You can make the same diuk, I don't know. But anyway, Lamaisa, that's the Trumas Hadeshin's diuk over here with regard to at least men's head coverings. Okay, and he says there's no reason to be machalic in that particular area. All right, so back in the Gemara. So he says V'das Yehudis afil kolsa nami yasa. So Amar Rabbi Asi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, kolsa ein ba mishum pru rosh. Havi bar Reb Zeira, heicha. So Reb Zeira asks the following kasha: Where are you talking about? Meaning there's no problem if you're wearing a kolsa, where is this? Ilema b'shuk das yehudasi. So if you're saying that in public, so that we just said that's a violation of das yehudas. The ela b'chotzer. It's talking about in one's own chotzer. Imkein lo hanachta bas la'avram avinu sheyosheves tachas baila. If so, what? We'll have to see. That you didn't allow Jewish women to live normally with their husbands. So Amar Abaye v'itemer Rav Kana mechotzer lechotzer v'derech mavui. It's talking about mechotzer lechotzer v'derech mavui. You're walking through back alleyways to get to another chotzer. So apparently in that area, then you're allowed to wear a kolsa. Well, I don't even want to say. Apparently in that area, it's not a problem. It being what? So let's just read Rashi carefully. So he says, Im kein de bechotzer yesh ba mishum priya. So Rashi sounds like he's saying that if it's true that in a chotzer there is an isser of having your hair uncovered, forgetting about kolsa, if it's true that that woman has to keep her hair covered even in a chatzer, so that's the Gemara's complaint, that you're stifling the women, you're not allowing them to live their lives with their husbands. Mashma, that in the chatzer, according to Rashi, you don't have to cover your hair at all. So he says, so then he answers, the derech mavui, the lo shchiche rabim. Very few people would come through there. So she doesn't have to do something in the chatzer. What doesn't she have to do? Right, so they said, kol sein ba puri rosh. Let's read the Gemara again. Kol sein ba mishim puri rosh, havi ber reb zera hecha. Where is it okay to wear a kolsa? Right? Ilei me b'shuk das yudasi. We know it's not okay in the shuk. Ela b'chotzer. Meaning it's okay to wear a kolsa in the chotzer. Im kein lo inachta basalav mavinu shiyoshevs tachas baila. But if you need to wear a kolsa even in the chotzer, that's too stifling. Right? It's too much. So it's only going mechotzer lechotzer derech mavui that you have to wear a kolsa. That wearing a kolsa is okay. It's both sides. It's number one. It's if going mechotzer lechotzer derech mavui that you have to wear a kolsa. And number two, it's okay to only wear a kolsa. But that's different than being bashuk. You hear? Yeah.
When the Gemara says that in ba mishum perorosh, we're learning that to mean that there is no problem at all of doing this, because like you say that Imba Mishum Purosh, mean, and then therefore it could be that Dasi Hudis would be a problem, but just wearing a kalsa solves the Purosh, at least on a Doraisa level.
Yeah, but why would he say that then?
Why is he saying
Im Kain? Right? You could say Im Kain Deika Dasi Hudis Afila B'chotzer, right? I don't know, or something like that. Rashi would... You're basically saying that Rashi's not Meduyik at all, if you don't read it that way, I think. No? Saying you have to read... Rashi, I think, is saying what he says for a reason. I'm not sure exactly what the reason is, but Lamaisa, he's pretty straightforward in what he means. If you look in Tosfos, he also has Dira Maschel, the Ela B'chotzer, right? So we said first, if it's in the Shuk, so we said that Kolsa is not enough. Ah, must be in the chotzer. So pirish afilu below kol sanami ein ba mishum priyas rosh. Shim lo kein lo hanachta bas la'av mavinu. Right. So he says the same vart. No, it's very clear that there's no iser whatsoever in the chotzer. Yeah.
Just explain Abaye's answer. How does he? Right. We say chotzer is too annoying to do. So what's Abaye's answer?
Abaye's answer is if you want to go from one private area to another private chatzar, one private chatzar to another private chatzar, and you're walking in a mavui, in a back alley that goes from one chatzar to another, where lo shchichi barabim, very few people walk in that alley.
And in that case, you would have to have.
In that case, you can suffice with a kolsa, but you need a kolsa.
But in a chatzar where there's more people, you wouldn't.
No, chatzar has fewer people. Mavui is more public than a chatzar.
Oh, okay.
Chatzar is a private, completely private area, and then a mavui is slightly more public.
Well, why is chatzar private? Did each person have their own chatzar?
Yeah.
Back
then? Yeah. Oh, okay. I mean, they have. I mean, full-fledged gemaras about, you know, there's a whole parak called Hashutfin that talks about Shutfin that want to divide up a chatzar. But lamaisa, we're assuming that the average chatzar. The opening Rashi in Bava Basra says Rov Tashmisha B'Chatzar. The Chatzar was the living room slash den of the time. People didn't do much inside. You have to remember, talking about in the Middle East, it's nice and hot most of the year, and most chatzeros had at least a roof on top of it, and that would make it the outdoors was good enough for playing outside most of the year. So they would basically hang out in the chutz. Or all they really did was eat and sleep in the houses themselves.
Right.
So yeah, the chutz was pretty private. I'm not sure exactly what the extent of the level of privacy was, but we talk about, in other words, hezek re'ia, in terms of that a person wants to be able to act normally and not have to worry about people watching them while they're in their chutz. So there is such an idea of there is an expectation of privacy in the chutz. Okay, so at least Rashi and Tosa seem to say that the Gemara's pshat is that if you're walking through from one chatzar to another, then you have to put on a kolsa, which is a doraisa covering, but you don't have to worry so much about Das Yehudis. Now, Shane Kane, if you're in your own chutz, you don't have to have anything, but outside in regular public, you definitely have to have a Das Yehudis covering, whatever that may be. You hear? Okay. So we'll get back to that, hopefully, at some point. All right, let's take a look in the Rambam. Let's take a look in the Rambam in Hilchos Ishus. This is Perek Chaf Dalet Alecha Yid Aleph. The Rambam already paskins like the Gemara's version of the Mishnah. He doesn't quote the Mishnah the way the Mishnah quotes the Mishnah. He reads it like the Gemara. So the Rambam writes, the Eloin Advarim Shim Asa Achas Me'an Avra Al Das Moshe. This is Das Moshe. Yotza Bashuk V'Seir Rosha Goli. Right away, the first thing says if a woman goes out in public with her hair uncovered. And then it goes on and lists them off. And then in Halacha Yid Beis is the Ezer Das Yehudis, who minigat sniya shenogu benos Yisrael, the Eluhein advarim sheim asa achas mein avral Das Yehudis, yotza l'shuk olamavui, yotza l'shuk olamavui mafulish, the rosha parua, the ein alea rodid kechol anoshim. So he adds in a few very important words that we'll get back to some of them. He says, first of all, Das Moshe is if her hair is completely uncovered. If you look in the Magid Mishnah, he just says that's Pashim Shah, now our Gemara. If you put the Mishnah and the Gemara together, you get the Rambam. So he says that if she goes out to the Shuk, or a Mavui Mefulish. A Mavui Mefulish, as you'll, if you don't already know, you'll learn, it's like, oh gosh, it's late already. If you don't already know, you'll know from the opening sugya in Masech Sukkah that there's two types of mavui. There's a mavui sasum and a mavui mafulish, right? And mavui sasum is one that's open. It's a dead end street, which is open on one side, and a mavui mafulish is like a street that's open on both ends. It's a back alley that's open on both ends that you can only get in on one side and get out the same way. So it's much more private than a mavoi mafulish. A mavoi sasim is much more private than a mavoi mafulish. So the Rambam equates a mavoi mafulish with a Rosh Hasharabim type place like the Shuk, whereas the Gemara doesn't differentiate, right? So we'll see what the makor of that is next time, hopefully. But in addition, he writes that if she goes out, even if she's even if she has this some type of mitpachas on her head, some type of a kerchief on her hair, on top of her head, if she doesn't have a rodid kechol hanashim, so then that is a violation of Das Yehudis. That goes maimini and oshei is a little bit helpful. He says targum yerushalmi shel tzif rodid. It means a tzif. If you look in the prisha on the tour in Kuf Tezvav, I think it's Sifkat and Yud in the Prisha. I wrote it down somewhere, but I think it's Sifkat and Yud in the Prisha, or Sifkat and Tes in the Prisha. He explains that the case of the mitpachas was a hair covering that they used to wear, and the rudded was like a talus that they used to wear, like what you see Muslim women wearing today. They wear like a talus, you know, the way we put a talus over our head and it goes down our backs. So too, the Rambam was referring to a talus type thing that the women would wear over their whole heads, and it would go all the way down their back, seemingly so that every stray hair, you know, the whole head would be covered. So that the Rambam says that's what would be Das Yehudis. And he also is mitzayin similar to the Lashon of Rashi, who minig sniya shenogu benos Yisrael, and specifically he says that it's rudded, ein aleha rudded kechol hanashim, the same way all women, Mistamah is referring to all Jewish women, but lav dafka, but let's assume for now he's referring to all Jewish women, used to walk around with this double head covering in order to make sure that everything was covered. So one thing we see, Pashit, from Rashi and the Rambam, is that the din of Das Yehudis doesn't necessarily mean that there was any takana midrabbanan that women had to walk like this. Could be that really the Rabbanan left it on the level of Daraisa. They didn't make extra takanas. What they did say was, if there's a minhag makom to be more machmir than the din d'oraisa, you have a chiyuv to follow that minhag makom. and therefore in the place in Bavel where the Gemara was written, and in the Rambam's place where he was writing the Mishneh Torah, then the women were generally had a minig to be more machmir, to cover every single thing in terms of the hair, and therefore it wasn't enough that what was okay midaraisa, that was okay midaraisa, would still be a violation of Das Yehudis. Could be that that's the Pashup Shat and Rashi and the Rambam, that in addition to what the din requires, if there's a minigam makam to be more machmir, you have to follow that chumra as well, to the extent that you can lose your ksuva if you don't follow it. You hear what I'm saying? So basically it was it's lav dafka that there was actually a takana midirabana. Okay, there's a lot more to be said about this, and I'm a little slow on the draw tonight, but
so we're going to have to hold here. But we'll do a lot more on...